Welcome, everybody, to Productivity Book Group. I'm your host and facilitator, Ray Sidney Smith. Thanks for joining us here on the live call or on the podcast for Productivity Book Group. Today on this call, we'll be discussing Personal Kanban, Mapping Work, Navigating Life by Jim Benson and Tony and Demaria Barry. As the Amazon book description states, machines need to be productive, people need to be effective. Productivity books focus on doing more. Jim and Tony Ann want you to focus on doing better. Personal Kanban is about choosing the right work at the right time, recognizing why we do the things we do, understanding the impact of our actions, creating value, not just product. So when we talk about personal Kanban, I think it's important for us to first define personal Kanban and sort of discuss some of the issues around personal Kanban. But let's first jump sort of into general reactions to the book and how you sort of, you know, thought about the way the book was sort of laid out and all the other fun stuff. And then we'll get into defining personal Kanban and some of the other pieces. So, Lee, what was your general reaction to the book when you read it?
Well, so I went into this with fairly high expectations because I'd heard about Kanban generally and personal Kanban specifically, but I really didn't know much about what it was beyond the idea of having stickies or other little notes on a board and some sort of look at what the work was and then kind of track it, sort of. I didn't quite have the ready doing done model, but I had the sense that there was something like that with little cards with tasks on them. So I was really expecting and wanting to like this book. And as a book and a read, I didn't really enjoy it particularly. I found the information very interesting. My biggest critique of the book was it felt to me like it spent more time telling me how wonderful life was going to be when I implemented the system than really giving me coherent, detailed description of how the system worked. And some of that I recognize, I mean, they're, we'll get to it. At heart, the core of it is extremely simple. And so in a way I felt there was an awful lot of hand waving around how wonderful it was and not enough detail walk through how to use it in a fairly large kind of scale. So I struggled a little to get through the book. It's not a hard read. I just found it not a terribly enjoyable book to read. Which I find ironic. This is not the first book where I've kind of loved the message, not liked the book so much.
Oh, totally, totally. And that's one of the biggest critiques, I think, that you'll find on Amazon or Goodreads is that the book is a bit wordy, maybe yep. A little too long for its message, right? But, you know, so I can appreciate that. So anyone going into it and reading it, I do think should take into account that the book is, you know, it's probably lengthier than it needs to be. And I guess they felt like they needed to, you know, put in, the, you know, a book's worth of stuff into the book. You know, I think a lot of authors feel that way. And you know, it's no longer turn of the century, you know, authorship, you know. So I think a lot of authors should take that to heart when they're writing, myself included as I write, you know, being much more concise and succinct is important. And so I'm right there with you. I thought there were large swaths of the book that were interesting maybe stories, but they didn't need to be in the book. And some of them read a little bit more like the blog, and so I felt like, you know, some of them really didn't or weren't as pertinent to the message of explaining personal Kanban as it was to just relating itself to the material, and that sometimes is, you know, is distracting, I think, to some extent. But on the whole, you know, I found myself going through and you know, focusing on the most pertinent materials and really focusing on the message. And I found that to be very powerful. So I think that the whole concept of that is going to be a very interesting discussion for us, because I think there's some really interesting things there. But I agree with you. A little bit wordy, but on the whole, I think that if you find a copy that has been well marked up, or if you find a Kindle version where you can see sort of the popular highlights, you know, that will give a good indicator of the parts that you should read, you know, and you'll get quite a lot out of those parts, I think, if you do actually read it or if you have read it. And so let's talk about personal Kanban itself. So in the book, just out the gate in sort of the basics of personal Kanban in that first chapter, Barry and Benson, or Benson and Barry, define personal Kanban as, quote, a visual representation of work that makes the conceptual tangible. It shows what work needs to be, shows what needs to be done, what is complete, what is being delayed, and what is going on at the precise moment, end quote. So the concept of personal Kanban, Lee, do you want to give me a sense of what you think it is and sort of the two rules of personal Kanban? And we can sort of go from there.
Sure. So, and really the next thing they talk about in the book are the two rules, and there are only two of them. The first one is visualize your work, and the second is limit work in progress. So the visualization, they suggest either a whiteboard or some sort of surface that you can put sticky notes on, and you have columns in which you populate tasks or actions that are ready to be done but that you're not actually doing, and then another column for what you're actually doing, and then a column for things that are done. So on a whiteboard, you'd erase and redraw the box, and with a sticky note, you just move the sticky note into the appropriate column as you worked on it. The thought behind work in progress is, as lots of studies have shown now, you really can't work on a whole lot of stuff at once. You really can do only one thing at any one second. Even if you try to so-called multitask, you're really